Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As the world waits for a possible invasion of Ukraine, President Biden and Vice President Harris are holding talks with NATO and European leaders today. They're trying to maintain a unified front against any moves by Russian President Vladimir Putin. Unity, meanwhile, was hard to come by last night in the U.S. Senate. Lawmakers couldn't agree on a slate of sanctions against Russia, so they passed a non-binding resolution condemning Russian aggression instead.
And in state capitals, there's a race to unwind pandemic rules. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us. Scott Wong is senior congressional reporter for NBC News, New Shop. Scott, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And Kimberly Atkins-Storr is Boston Globe senior opinion writer and columnist. Kimberly, hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Kimberly, let me ask you first. President Biden says a Russian invasion of Ukraine could come in the next few days. This, of course, is an issue of human lives, first and second and third. But let's be honest, political strategists also see points to be gained in a moment like this. Does this moment provide a time for President Biden potentially to show leadership with NATO allies appearing to be behind him?
I think it absolutely does. I mean, I think it's more than a show. I think one thing we have seen as a result of Vladimir Putin's aggression and threats of aggression is that it has unified the West with the United States in a way that we have not seen in quite some time. Of course, Biden follows a president who was very much America first and isolationist. This is a 180 from that. You see not only unity between the United States, NATO, and other Western allies, you see unity in Washington on this with Democrats and Republicans, despite the fact that they were not able to come to an agreement about this additional sanctions. They were still at the very least speaking in unity. And so that's a very important point and a very important moment for the president.
Now, Scott, if there is an invasion, there could also be immediate economic pain. We could see oil and gas prices spiking. We could see stock market turmoil, leaving Americans feeling poorer. I mean, Americans tend to blame the president and his party if this kind of thing happens, right?
Absolutely. And so there is an upside for President Biden if things go well and we don't see an invasion, and he has demonstrated leadership. But on the other hand, an invasion would lead to a lot of these economic consequences that even Democrats, Biden allies on Capitol Hill, including Ben Cardin, the senator from Maryland, told me that we could see rising, energy prices. We could see supply chain issues. And those are things that affect Americans and hit our pocketbooks and that people are paying attention to. Certainly in an election year. So while there is, the possibility for reward for Biden and Democrats, there's also a significant political risk and ramifications if we do see Putin invade.
And the crisis does seem to be heating up here almost every day. Secretary of State Antony Blinken made a surprise visit yesterday to the United Nations to say that Russia will try to manufacture a pretext to invade. Let's listen.
We don't know exactly the form it will take. It could be a fabricated so-called terrorist bombing inside Russia, the invented discovery of a mass grave, a staged drone strike against civilians, or a fake, even a real, attack using chemical weapons.
So, Kimberly, the administration continues to warn almost on a daily basis here that an invasion is coming. It's coming in days, right? Maybe they're right. We're all waiting to see if they will be. But if they're wrong, what happens? Do you think that they lose some credibility?
I don't think so. I think they very much could say, look, Vladimir Putin underestimated the NATO and other Western allies. Keep in mind that the goal of Vladimir Putin here always is to destabilize the West and try to increase his own influence in Eastern Europe and elsewhere if this sort of show of aggression ends up with him backing down. It will make it seem that he underestimated just how unified the West was. So I think that can be seen as a victory. Certainly not avoiding such an invasion in itself is a victory when it comes to the human toll and his failure to invade Ukraine in itself. But there is also an upside there in also avoiding this energy crisis that we're talking about. So I don't know that it's would be seen as an overreaction in this sense. I think it's a reminder of the threats that the international threats that are continuing and the need for the West to remain unified to fend them off.
All right, let's move on to something else. COVID, the pandemic, and a surprise move yesterday. New Mexico's Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham took off her mask and joined other Democratic governors this week, relaxing coronavirus mandates as those numbers continue to come down.
I'm announcing that the mask requirement for indoor settings is gone.
So, in fact, some of these states, all of them, are ahead of the CDC on the guidance here, which are likely to follow the states here in the next couple days, perhaps next week. Do you think that the lockdowns and the restrictions, were political liabilities, Scott, for Democrats? You know, I'm just wondering, like, if they saw what was happening, for instance, in Canada with the truckers protesting, blocking roads, and thought, you know, we don't want to see that here.
I think that's exactly what's happening. I think Democrats are reading the polls, which show that more and more Americans are disapproving of President Biden's handling of COVID and COVID restrictions than approve. That's a huge change and reversal from last year when most Americans backed Biden's efforts to combat COVID. And so we've seen this move by Michelle Lujan Grisham of New Mexico, also Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State. And with those two governors, it now means that in the contiguous United States, on the mainland, almost all of the states are moving towards repealing those mask mandates. I think all except for Hawaii, which has been hit especially hard by COVID, is now moving to sort of reverse some of those mask mandates. And I think what's happening is Democrats and Democratic pollsters and lawmakers specifically are looking at the polling. They're also looking at the falling COVID numbers, and those are significant indicators as well that they're pointing to. But against the backdrop, there's an important midterm elections where the House and the Senate and many other offices are at stake, and COVID is top of mind for every American family.
Well, let's talk about pandemic rules in San Francisco. I don't know what the bluest shade of blue is, but it is a haven for liberals. And yet voters recalled school board members, right, who were unpopular for a few reasons, for long school shutdowns, for spending a lot of time renaming schools because of race and slavery history. To you, Kimberly, this is an infighting among Democrats. What does it tell us?
Yeah, I think that the pandemic has sort of frayed everybody's nerves and their patience with a lot of with the disruptions that they've caused. I think you've seen a lot of campaigns aimed at the local offices about just people's dissatisfaction with how everything about this pandemic from the bottom up has been handled. So it's not surprising to me that you see recalls even heated school board meetings and the like. You see that happening in places like Massachusetts and New York. It's not just limited to political divides. And I think that it is a part of that, the frustration that parents are seeing. So it's not entirely surprising to me. Parents are also realizing that they have much more of a voice when it comes to these local offices and trying to hold them accountable. For better or for worse, we've seen an increase of things like threats against school board and other officials across the country. So I think it's an arm of that sort of dissatisfaction with the uncertain state, even as we're emerging from this pandemic.
Yeah. And Scott, let's talk briefly about former President Trump and his political issues. Yesterday, a judge ordered Trump and two of his children to sit for depositions and the New York Attorney General investigation into the Trump Organization business practices. At the same time, most Republicans seem to be falling over themselves to stand behind the former president. Is he a liability for GOP candidates or no?
Well, I think it actually depends on what chamber you're talking about. I think you are seeing in the House, House members, House Republicans, tend to fall in line much, much more than we're seeing Senate Republicans. In fact, there was a retreat down in Florida the other day where, a campaign retreat to raise money, and not a whole lot of those senators decided to go pay their respects and kiss the ring down at Mar-a-Lago and have Trump show up at their fundraising events. But on the other hand, in the House, you are seeing House members fall in line. They are typically more in line with where the base of their voters are, and the base of the Republican Party right now stands with Donald Trump.
Scott Wong is senior congressional reporter for NBC News, and we've also been speaking with Kimberly Atkins-Store with the Boston Globe, senior opinion writer and columnist. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.